The Clark Art Institute's collection includes around 300 teacups from different eras and continents. Artist Molly Hatch gained access to the pieces, and her collected illustrations of them are gathered in a new book, A Teacup Collection, Paintings of Porcelain Treasures. Well, the Clark is celebrating the book beginning at 1:30 this Sunday with a tea in their Cafe 7, an author's talk at 3 in the Clark Center, and a book signing in the museum store at 4 o'clock. Molly Hatch joins us now to tell us more. She's joined by Kathleen Morris, the Sylvia and Leonard Marks Director of Collections and Exhibitions and Curator of Decorative Arts. It's her job to actually count the teacups so we know that there are 300. And she has many other important jobs as well. She worked with Molly on the book and wrote the foreword, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Molly and Kathleen to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
A delight to have you here. So, Molly, when did you become aware that the Clark had the teacups in their possession?
Well, I definitely have my former gallery owner, Leslie Farron, to thank for that. She put me in touch with Kathy at the Clark after seeing the collection herself and encouraged me to look more directly to museums to source my sources for my artwork. And I immediately reached out to Kathy and wanted to set up a time to come see it and see the back room. And she was very generous in letting me come. And she donned the white gloves so I could look at things in person.
All right. So let's talk about the back room. I'm fascinated that there's a back room at the Clark and it has a lot of teacups in it.
Well, it was actually kind of a perfect time for Molly to have this idea because it was when we were closed for renovation.
Right.
And the entire collection was in storage. And every teacup and saucer that we had were on a range of shelves, many, many shelves, because we have 300 of them, as you mentioned. And so we went into this storage room and just sort of roamed through those shelves and shelves filled with porcelain.
So let us talk to you for a moment, Kathleen, about the collection, about the teacups themselves, and then we'll talk to Molly about her work and the beautiful paintings and illustrations that she has done. So how did the Clark come to collect these teacups?
Well, virtually all of them were collected by our founder, Sterling Clark. And he was, as you know, a great collector of paintings. He and his wife both were interested in collecting from the time that they met in the teens. But he also put together important collections of silver and of porcelain. And I remember this was also a great opportunity for me to do a little digging in our files and digging through Sterling Clark's diaries to try to understand a little bit more about why Sterling Clark would put together a collection like this, because it's very peculiar in some ways. I mean, it's very specific collection of hundreds of cups and saucers, the same form over and over, but each of them is unique.
So when you say specific, what was the specific goal? What was the idea of what he was trying to collect?
Well, that's what I have tried to sort of get to the bottom of. He never really articulates it very clearly in his diary entries, which is where most of my information comes from. But I actually think that he just fell in love with these things. He wanted to be able to show the profusion of what was being done in the 18th century in what was at that time a new luxury market. And these things were coveted then, and they still are. You know, they're beautiful, precious, exquisitely rendered objects that he responded to in the same way that he responded, to Impressionist paintings in some ways. He loved beautiful things.
As far as dates, is there a wide range?
It ranges from the very beginning of porcelain production in Europe, which is the very beginning of the 18th century, through really the collection goes all the way into the early 20th century, but most of the cups and saucers are from either the 18th or the early 19th centuries.
And is there one particular artist or one particular
factory?
Factory, yeah. I was going to say provider, but yeah.
Well, the two most famous European factories are the Meissen factory outside of Dresden, now Germany, and the Sèvres factory, which is outside of Paris in France. They were the real leaders of the luxury trade in porcelain in the 18th century. They were the kind of top producers, and most of the collection is from one of those two factories. But he also collected things from many other European factories. He collected Chinese examples. He collected English examples. So it's a pretty wide-ranging collection.
So enter Molly Hatch, who then says, as she indicated, wanted to come in, looked at the collection, put on the white gloves, and said, you pretty much want to do the whole collection, right?
Yeah, I just knew that, you know, in there was something there. I mean, the 18th century is sort of my happy place aesthetically. I love the sort of opulence and the attention to detail and the craftsmanship that is sort of particularly well done in that time period and particularly in Europe. And so when I saw the number, just the sheer amount of those, and then also understanding that one collector's eye collected them all and that they really haven't been edited, that was really fascinating to me, sort of as an artist who sells to collectors and thinks about collections and museums a lot. And I interface with those two places a lot. I wanted to figure out a way to reflect that collection in some way or other. And I went home and started thinking about it. I had taken about 35 or 40 photos of different pieces that day in the back room with Kathy. And I just started doing drawings of them. And then it became pretty clear that that was not just drawings, that I didn't want to do 300 drawings. I felt like 300 drawings or paintings were going to become more of a book. And so very quickly realized that this was a book. And the format was inspired by this article that I had read in Selvage magazine, which is a UK sort of textile magazine. And they had featured this article about a Nordic museum collection that was systematically over 30 years of this one curator's tenure there. She painted the majority of the collection in watercolor to highlight the color and the detail of these historic pieces in their collection because they couldn't do color photography as mm-hmm. exacting. So that format of developing a hand-drawn catalog, she was doing this in sort of 1920s to 1930s, which was about the time I understand that that Francine and Sterling Clark were collecting these cups. So there was sort of this serendipitous aha moment of the format of this historic catalog and how this woman had done it for the Nordic Museum and the format. I adopted the format for the format of the book that I've done. So a sort of portrait of what I found in particular to be exciting or worth paying attention to in each cup, and then a portrait of the cup. So in the case of, as a maker myself, I wanted to highlight the makers that are behind the objects. So on each corresponding page, there's like a portrait of each teacup. And then on the opposite page, I've highlighted the back stamp and acquisition numbers and any sort of dealer stamps or any information that was on the bottom of the cup, which usually is an attribution to who decorated it, who gilded it, maybe an initial of a painter, which is not something we normally see, but it's right. An opportunity for me to honor the people who made these things too.
How long do you have to spend? Were you working on photographs how long did you have to spend with the object to get what you wanted?
Well, it became really clear in that first visit with Kathy that I loved the bottoms. There was the bottoms of these pieces were really important to me.
Yeah.
So I asked to be able to have images sent to me of the bottoms in addition to a side view, and also images of the saucers. So some of the cups have a detail of a saucer. Some of them also have a detail of the bottom. I think all of them I've put at least the detail of the bottom, and then there's some with additional detailing from the saucers. And that was a tough decision. Do we edit the saucers? Do we keep the saucers? The saucers are important, but I felt the cups were even more important.
If it doesn't have a saucer, is it a mug?
I think so, yes. I mean, I think this is a big argument about whether the importance of saucers in contemporary. There's a professor at UMass and at UMass Dartmouth, Jim Lawton, who is a firm believer in the importance of the saucer, and he and I have argued continuously over whether or not they're important. But in my day, I don't tend to drink formal teas unless they're at the Clark on Sundays.
Yeah.
And
you're signing your own book, right?
And I have an English father-in-law, and, you know, we do Devonshire cream teas when we visit. But, you know,
but
I'm a mug drinker, right? Like,
right.
I drink out of mugs. So for me, this is the important part. And I think for most of us in our contemporary lifestyle, we tend to be on the go with a mug.
This is a question for you, Kathleen, and I'm just curious, is because most of these are numbered, and did they have like a style name? So now if you go and you order, or if you go in and you find fine china, it'll be, you know,
like a pattern name.
Right, a pattern name of, you know, Forest Lawn or whatever the case may be, which unfortunately is a cemetery. Anyway, bad name that I
Meissen's
just would
Blue
grab
Onion.
Right, Blue Onion. Right. So there's a beautiful one here. Is that a peacock? What kind of bird is that?
I think that I have no idea.
Okay.
Really, it's really...
So is there a pattern name or in most cases are there is nothing?
They're really, at the time that these were made, the factories had artists working for them who were creating new patterns, new decoration all the time. And it was important for these things to be continually evolving and continually changing, because people who were collecting these at the time wanted the novelty. They wanted new things. They wanted the freshest and most current styles. The whole idea of creating patterns of porcelain that you could then buy over, you know, you could go back and fill in the pattern or you know, collect over time, that really developed in the 19th century, probably the later 19th century. So these, for the most part, are actually probably entirely the cups that Molly has painted don't have any pattern names. Although as historians, we sometimes call them like the Catherine the Great service, for example. There's a cup that comes from a big dinner and coffee service that Catherine the Great of Russia commissioned. And so we refer to that as the Catherine the Great service.
The handles fascinated me. Mm-hmm. I have to say, I started going through the book and I was, you know, you start going through, teacups, and then, oh, wow, these were really, really cool. And because some don't have any, right? Mm-hmm. Some don't have any handle. Some have two handles. Well, that's cool. And then this one from Hungary where the handle's a little guy running.
I know, that poor man's running for eternity, right?
Well, we assume from the hot liquid that has been poured inside, right?
They are comical. I mean, there's a lot of humor in them. There's a lot of, I mean, I think they're really fascinating. And the ones I chose, you know, I mean, there were some favorites for sure. And that one that you're describing is particularly a favorite.
A lot of birds, a lot of nature.
A lot of birds, a lot of nature, which is very 1700s of them. I mean, the sort of love of nature at that time. But also, I think it's worth mentioning, too, that at the time, porcelain had just been discovered in Europe in the sort of the 1700s. And it was so precious. It was the equivalent of gold value today, which is hard for us to imagine. But it was really gilding the lily. I mean, it was all this intense hand painting on top of something that was as precious as gold. I mean, these were like amazingly wealthy objects, and they're fashionable to own in large quantities. But that sort of value is so impressive to me.
This is this may be a difficult question to answer, probably because it's going to be clunky and I won't articulate it in a proper fashion. But here's what I'm going to try to do, which is I find this fascinating because there is a collection literally in our backyard that has this stuff. But so you pick this book up and you live in Phoenix, Arizona, and it's still fascinating because of the art and because we are interested not only in your artistic process, but in the objects themselves, right? So talk a little bit about that, of what brings an audience in to want to look at a book about teacups. Well, if they're not familiar with the backstory.
Yeah, and I think you don't need to know about teacups or the history of teacups. I mean, there is a nice little essay that I wrote my interests in the book.
And Kathleen provides the backstory, the context.
So, I mean, even if you pick up the book and you're uninformed, that will inform you. But I think from a very basic level, it's my eye examining the curatorial eye or the collector's eye or taste of Sterling Clark. And I'm giving you a very particular perspective on a group of things. So you're going to start to notice what's different about each, what's the same about each. And if for no other reason, I mean, there's just an enormous amount of aesthetic pleasure in these little stories in each one. I mean, they're almost narrative in each one, or they're just a collection of flowers, or, you know, I mean, I think it's amazing to I mean, I fell in love with each one for a different reason, and I think you can kind of start to see that in what I paid attention to in each painting. And I think we're all collectors in our own lives, and this is sort of a reflection of that passion of collect. I mean, this is just 100 of the 300 in this book. It would have been three times as thick if Chronicle had let me do every single cup. But I think, you know, I think that we all have a passion for collecting, and we all have, you know, china cabinets around us. You know,
sure.
We go to our grandmother's house and we kind of understand. But this might give you a new perspective on what to look at and what to think about next time you go to grandma's house.
And I'm just warning, warning younger people that then when grandma passes on, I have found then you get the china cabinet.
Yes, you do.
And then, then that's how I got it in my house with all of that china, and it's beautiful. So, final question, and that is about the event itself that's going to take place on Sunday. So in my eye, I would see your picture and then the actual object. So is that opportunity going to be present on Sunday?
It will be for a number of things. 27 of the cups that are in the book are actually on view in our galleries. So people will be able to take the book into the galleries and compare if they want to.
Okay.
And Molly and I are also going to be doing an illustrated talk in the West Pavilion of the Clark Center and show some side-by-side images of the actual cups and then the paintings that Molly has made of them. So there'll be a lot of opportunity to explore the book and the collection in whatever way visitors want to do, and they can join us for tea.
This sounds like such a fun day. The Teacup Collection Celebration will take place at the Clark in Williamstown, Massachusetts this Sunday. Beginning at 1:30, you can visit clarkart.edu for reservations and more information. Molly Hatch and Kathleen Morris, I thank you so much for being here. Molly, what a beautiful job on the book.
Thank you so much
for your gorgeous art and for explaining it. And Kathleen, thank you for your great work in putting it all into perspective for us. I appreciate it. Again, the event is taking place on Sunday. You can find out more by going to clarkart.edu. A great pleasure to have you both. Have fun. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.